Sat7 broadcasts into countries where believers undergo a huge amount of persecution, of suffering for the gospel. And we've got people in our own congregation who have come from places where they experienced great suffering. I was talking to someone just this week who was telling me their story about how they became a Christian in Iran, and their house was, and then state police went to their house to arrest them because they'd become a Christian and they were forced to flee here. People in our congregation who have experienced great suffering. Others of us have come from backgrounds where suffering might be looked on as something that Christians shouldn't experience. Maybe you've heard of the prosperity gospel, that the gospel which says that God wants Christians above all to prosper. And if we have the faith in him, then we will prosper. And suffering is somehow sub-Christian. Maybe you've come from an area church where that kind of gospel or something similar is preached, and maybe you've been influenced a bit by that. In the UK, we can be quite good at spotting what isn't a biblical gospel. But what about us? Maybe we've slipped into what we might call a comfort gospel. The gospel that allows us to live our lives in comfort. God saved us. We're waiting for heaven then. But for now, let's just make sure that our lives here on earth are as comfortable as possible. Life's hard enough as it is, paying the bills, making sure family's working okay. Let's not make life any more difficult than it needs to be. Let's make it comfortable. Or maybe you don't call yourself a Christian, and you wonder what all this talk about suffering is, and you think that maybe Christians are kind of exaggerating all this and making too much out of what really is just a very small thing. We're going through the letter of 2 Timothy in our Sunday mornings, and we're thinking about suffering today. This letter was written by Paul, who was suffering. The apostle was in prison in Rome, and he was writing to Timothy, a younger man who he'd sent to Ephesus. That's where he's writing to him, Ephesus. Timothy's overseeing a church there, and Paul is about to die. He's in prison, and he's awaiting execution by the Roman state. He's about to die. This is probably his last letter he's writing to Timothy. And in our passage, the passage which Ash read to us, we're going to see a couple of things. Suffer for the gospel, guard the gospel. Suffer for the gospel, guard the gospel. So let's have a look at suffer for the gospel. Verse 8, have a look. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Do not be ashamed, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Why, Paul, do you need to write that? Because everyone else is ashamed and doesn't want to suffer for the gospel. This suffering that he's talking about will have come from different places. Paul suffered at the hands of Jews who chased him from town to town and tried to stone him on different occasions because he preached that Jesus, this man, was God, one with the Father. Suffering at the hands of the state. Here he was languishing in prison, about to be executed, presumably charged with proclaiming that there is another God apart from Caesar. Suffering from within the church at the hands of others who were teaching a different gospel and didn't like this gospel that Paul was preaching. And his friends who abandoned him. A few verses later, we see at the end of our passage, he writes, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes." Everyone in the province of Asia has deserted him. If only he would just tone down his gospel a little. Just don't keep talking about Jesus dying on the cross. There are much more important things for us to emphasize in the gospel. Just tone that bit down a bit, Paul. So People deserted him and left him in that dungeon to die. Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, of this gospel about Jesus that I preach, or of me in prison. But join with me as I suffer. Those are the two options. Be ashamed of the gospel that Paul preaches. Join with Paul as he suffers. Those are our two options. So what about us? What option do we go for? To be ashamed of Jesus, embarrassed about talking about him, embarrassed when other Christians might talk about him, or to join in suffering for his name, in being thought of as a bit of a weirdo, ignored, losing friends and popularity? Those are our two options. Embarrassed, suffering for his name. What is going to persuade Timothy not to be ashamed, but rather to suffer for the gospel? Only the gospel itself. That's what Paul goes on to say in those next two verses, verses 9 and 10. He goes on to explain, summarize in these couple of verses, what is this gospel that he's been preaching and for which he is suffering about. So, why don't you guys do a bit of work? Have a look at verses 9 and 10. It should be up on the screens there. Let's just have a little look at this gospel, the summary of the gospel, and shout out what you see. What are the things that Paul emphasizes in this particular explanation? And why would this be encouraging to Timothy? Have a look. Say what you see. Grace. Yep. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Grace is unconditional love. What else?
He saved us.
He saved us. Yeah.
He's called us.
Yep. And what do we see about this saving, this salvation, and this calling? Say that a bit louder, Ash.
The living again through the gospel.
Yeah, so living again. So,
immortality.
Exactly, yes. This salvation is life. Immortal, eternal life. That's what he gives us. What else?
Not because of anything we've done.
Yes. Not because of anything that we have done. It's all because of God pouring out his grace upon us. We haven't earned it. What else?
Death is destroyed.
Yes. Death is destroyed. To Paul, who is awaiting execution and is going to die, he knows that that's not the end. Death is destroyed, and he has life for all eternity. Anything else? Peter.
Okay, grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time.
Yes, grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So all this has been achieved through Christ Jesus as he died on the cross and defeated death. And it was done, it was planned before the beginning of time. We were called before the beginning of time. Timothy, don't be timid, don't worry, because you have been called from before the beginning of time. And now Jesus has appeared and has destroyed death. This is part of God's plan to destroy death and bring life. This is a small summary of the gospel. It's not absolutely everything. The gospel will... different things will be emphasized depending on what Paul is going through, depending on who he's talking to. I suppose that says that each of us will tell the gospel in a slightly different way, depending on what our experiences has been, won't it? And that's something to look out for as we hear testimonies of new Christians. That's just something for us to note. Here Paul is summarizing the gospel. The gospel that gives him hope as he languishes in prison thinking about execution. That is not going to be the end, because before the beginning of time, God planned for death to be destroyed by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross. This is something that we wouldn't earn. It would be all of grace. Maybe you're here today, you aren't a Christian, you don't know this Jesus, and you haven't experienced this new life that God offers. This is the gospel that Paul preached, and the gospel that we preached, and the gospel that Sat 7 broadcast throughout the Middle East and many other places, that we'd love you to know. And it's the gospel that Paul is not ashamed of. That he's been appointed a herald, verse 11, an apostle, and a teacher, and he is not ashamed to be suffering, to be awaiting execution. Because he's convinced, verse 12, that God is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. He's entrusted, I think, what he means, his life to God. And God will guard that, even though he will be executed, and who knows, days, weeks, months. God is guarding his life, because Jesus has destroyed death. Do we know this hope of eternal life? Polycarp the martyr knew that. Just before his death in the second century, when he was urged to deny his faith, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? Or more recently, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, just before his execution by the Nazis, gathered his fellow prisoners around him to read the Bible and to pray together. And after his closing prayer, two men came and said, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with us." All the prisoners knew what these words meant: the scaffold. Bonhoeffer told his friend, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life. Going out to die, the beginning of life." Paul urges Timothy to suffer for the gospel. And next, he urges him to guard the gospel. Have a look at verse 14. "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." The good deposit must be the gospel, the good news about Jesus, because in the previous verses, he tells Timothy to keep the pattern of sound teaching, what he heard from Paul. In chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "The things that you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." This gospel that I've been preaching for the past 30, 40 years, that I've entrusted to others, that I've entrusted to you, guard it and entrust it on to others. Paul's in a dungeon, being guarded by these Roman guards, and his mind turns to the message that he's preached, that he's suffered for. And he tells Timothy, guard this gospel, this good deposit. Maybe we think of a family heirloom, a family treasure that's passed down from generation to generation. Just before our dad or our mum dies, they give it to us, they pass it on to us. They entrust it to our care, and they say, guard this. Keep it safe. Keep it safe and pass it on to your children. Or maybe we think of this glass of water, and we imagine it's come from the purest mountain spring in the highest mountain that there is. And one person collects this mountain water, and they pass it on to another person, who passes it on to more people, and it spreads from person to person. Each time they're told, guard this treasure, this water that offers life to thirsty people. How do you guard it? You guard it by making sure that nothing else gets into it to contaminate it, making sure it doesn't spill onto the ground and flow away and you gets lost. And you guard it by passing it on to others, so that they have this water that they can pass on to others. Timothy, guard this gospel. Or in different words, verse 13, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Paul's shown him this pattern. He passes it on to Timothy and says, keep this pattern and entrust it to others. Timothy, suffer for the gospel. Guard this gospel. Two commands. Although actually, he's just saying one thing to Timothy. He's saying, guard this gospel, even though you're going to have to suffer for it. Guard this gospel, no matter what it might cost you. It's cost me my life. And it might cost you yours too, but guard this gospel. And that's the main message of possibly this whole letter. Timothy's surrounded by other teachers who are teaching other gospels because they've added things in or they've taken things away. Paul wants him to guard this gospel. So friends, what about us? As we go through this letter and we apply it to ourselves, we need to be a bit careful about how we do that. It's Paul's writing to a younger man, Timothy, who oversees a church in Ephesus. And so much of this is directly to leaders of churches and people in some kind of leadership position. But much of it is also written to all of us. The last verse of the letter, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you all. He's writing to Timothy, but assuming that the whole church is going to be reading the letter over Timothy's shoulders. So it's also written to all of us. We just need to bear that in mind as we apply this letter, as we go through it week by week. Let's think about three P's. Preserve, pass on, pay the price. That's how we guard the gospel, no matter what the cost. First, preserve. The gospel that Paul preached, this biblical gospel, is guarded as it is preserved by making sure nothing's added to it and nothing is taken away from it. Just like if you add orange juice to this glass of water, it's no longer water. It's something else. Or if you take an element away from the H2O, it's no longer water, it's something else. We preserve the gospel by guarding it against false teaching. Now that's a particular responsibility of the elders and leaders of the church. And so it's good to pray for elders as they try and do that. But it's also a responsibility of all of us. We can all guard against false teaching through the things that we choose to believe and choose not to believe, things we choose to listen to and choose not to listen to. It's a danger for every church, for every Christian. Just like you look into the water in a pond, and as it gradually turns green, you won't notice it turning green until one day you look at it and you see, when did that get so green and full of algae? So you might not realize that the gospel that you're believing and preaching in, gradually other truths are seeping into this. And one day you wake up and you think, actually, I don't believe in that part of the gospel anymore because it doesn't fit with my view of God. Because it's seeped in bit by bit, gradually. Maybe we take something away from this gospel. We don't like talking about sin or judgment, hell. And so our gospel becomes a gospel without those things. And you're left asking, well, what's the point of the cross? Why did God send his son to die on a cross if we don't need to be saved from any of those things? Or you add something in. You add good works. I want to do something. I want to contribute something to this salvation. But then what's the point of the cross of Christ? Why did Jesus Christ die on a cross if we can contribute something to this gospel? Paul's saying, this gospel which I've preached, this brings life to people who are dying. Preserve it as it is. Adding to it, it's like having a glass of water in our hands, giving it to a person who's dying of thirst, but putting salt in it before you do that. You'd be giving that person not life, but death. So first, preserve the gospel. Second, pass it on. Paul's entrusted this gospel to Timothy and he wants him to entrust it to others. It's such a valuable treasure that you mustn't keep it to yourselves. You must pass it on to others. That's how we guard the gospel. Think of the church in Iran. The Iranian Revolution of 1979 established a hardline Islamic regime. Over the next two decades, Christians faced increasing opposition, persecution. Missionaries were kicked out. Evangelism was outlawed. Bibles were banned. Pastors were put in prison. Some were executed. And the church came under tremendous pressure. Many thought this small Iranian church would just wither away and die out. But the exact opposite happens. Despite continued hostility from then until now, Iranians have become the Muslim people most open to the gospel in the Middle East. How did it happen? Well, apparently, two reasons. First, that violence in the name of Islam caused widespread disillusionment in that regime and led to many Iranians questioning their beliefs. And second, many Iranian Christians continue to boldly tell others the good news about Jesus Christ. They passed it on. The Iranian regime tried to destroy this gospel in Iran, but they passed it on and it grew. Preserve, pass on, pay the price. As we preserve it from false teaching and as we pass it on, we will pay a price. The world will accuse us of being fundamentalists who believe in a God of hate. They'll accuse us of forcing our beliefs on other people. They may sack us. They may fine us. They may, a few years down the line, put us in prison. Colleagues may shun us and think we're weird. Friends at school may unfriend us. We have two options. To be ashamed of Jesus and the good news about him and of those who do suffer for him, or to join with them in suffering for this gospel. Those are our two options. What will enable us to preserve and to pass on and to pay the price for this gospel? Will it be waking up on Monday morning and saying, I've got to do that because the preacher said it on Sunday and I've got to just keep trying and doing that? What's going to give us the power to do that? Paul says in verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Christians, we have God the Holy Spirit living inside of us who doesn't make us timid, but does give us the power to preserve this gospel, to pass it on, and to pay the price for doing those things. And we'll be empowered the more we understand and marvel at and delight in this gospel. This gospel that Paul's given a short summary of in these couple of verses. The more we drink of this life-giving water, the more we'll want to give it to others. The more we'll want to preserve it from anything being added to it or taken away from it. So have a look back at verses 9 and 10, this gospel that Paul preached. It's as we meditate on these truths, as we see that God planned this and purposed it from before the beginning of time. It's not just an accident. It's not something that depends on us keeping going and us choosing and us being good enough, but on God's grace. It's something that depends on Jesus Christ having gone to the cross and destroyed death so that death does not reign anymore, but life reigns and we can have life for all eternity. It's as we see these truths and marvel at them and drink as thirsty people who want more of Jesus. So as we do that, we will be empowered, the Holy Spirit works in us, to preserve this gospel, to pass it on, and to pay the price. This is the most valuable treasure. And so we want to do that. We want to preserve, pass on, and pay the price.